topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today's message is, first of all, the essence of continuation of the essence of my message regarding overcoming lack of believers, so part two. And we'll then look at the different views of the mountain of Yah. So, overview of the broadcast. The broadcast continues to examine the essence of my message regarding overcoming lack of believers. It encourages the parties not to make one another wrong. Each should figure this out themselves. It is suggested that silence is golden and that there should be sharing and no secrets. Conversation and discussion is encouraged. It is suggested that there may need to be space to agree to disagree. It is asserted that the ideal is to live together and work together, but this is hard to achieve in practice. It is further stated that self-discipline is required. The different views of the mountain of relationship with Yah are discussed in the context of marriage. It is noted that mountains look different depending on how you come to them, and that each one of us must climb Yah's mountain by our own unique path. It is asserted that no human being can tell you exactly how to climb your path, and that one can only describe one's own route up the mountain of Yah. It is asserted that there are large parts of Yah's mountain we individually do not know about, and that I understand some of the Christian side of the mountain and some of the rest. You are advised that you are almost certainly on the mountain and should therefore start climbing. Finally, I offer some closing thoughts on lack of believers and symphonia and the different views of the mountain. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13, served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19, eventually married to an unbeliever, who became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor in preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. For more information, in particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with YAH. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. That's in quotes. So Relationship with Creator Radio, one word, .com. The show on podcasts, or Google, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So we're going to pick up. The article was broadcast and was published on February this year. That was the first article published this year, so it's references 2022.02.01, The Essence of My Message Regarding Overcoming Lack of Believers, Part 2. Excuse me. I pose the question, what is harmony? I thought I understood this until recently. However, I now find myself in a situation where, as far as I can see, there is harmony, but there is also lack. So that indicates that there's not harmony. So I'm now digging deeper to better understand what can be done to achieve true harmony with the associated prosperity. Following are a few thoughts. Your comments and suggestions are most welcome, particularly if you have a case study to share about a family that has broken through financially. So we spoke in the previous broadcast about symphonio, symphonic harmony, resonating together. And I asserted that in a covenant situation, a sexual covenant, life covenant, in other words, what we typically call marriage, although often what's called marriage isn't really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a situation where the woman was a virgin or a widow or truly divorced. How do we get a man and a woman, or a man and several women, into a position where there is financial abundance? As I've said several times recently, I've come across a number of people who are on my mailing list, who've contacted me through the website, who are really doing their best to serve Father, but they're in lack. And the way I understand things, the only way that's possible is that the house is divided. And it's easy to say that. It's easy to say, well, the reason you don't have any money is because your house is divided. The question is, how do you find out how it's not divided? How do you find out how to get into harmony? Sorry, I apologize. I've got a bit of a cold. I'm battling a bit here. So first of all, I want to suggest that it's not about making one another wrong. Each of you have to figure this out for yourselves. A big lesson here is that for members of the family to tell other members of the family that they're not in harmony, not in agreement, whatever, is destructive and makes the problem worse. What is needed is an awareness by each family member of the principles set out in this article, and then for each one to seek as best they can to create an environment of symphonia harmony, symphonic harmony. So for many years I operated from the basis of saying, well, if the house is divided and there was lack, the problem was that my wife was not in harmony with me, and the problem therefore was hers. I've seen repeatedly in a number of situations in my life in the recent past that that is invalid, that I'm the problem, and that I've been dividing the house by things that I've done. And so I don't think it's really helpful to tell your significant other, your life partner, that they are the cause of not being in agreement. Now, there may be certain circumstances where you might need to do that, but as a general rule, I'm saying no. You need to find it a step at a time. You need to get it on board with a financial person a step at a time. And I want to suggest to you that silence is golden. As noted last week, the division of the house is reported by satanic messengers who monitor everything that each believer in the house says, writes, does, etc. I'm talking about the spiritual house of a man in covenant with one or more women. It's vital to be aware that neither messengers nor demons can read our thoughts. So if one is aware that there are differences of opinion, for example, one person is vaccinated and believes it's the right thing to do, and another is not vaccinated and considered it as the right thing to do, the house is divided. Excuse me. However, if having realized the difference, the two people accept one another's points of view and cease talking about it or writing about it, whether to one another or to third parties, and eventually the verdict of division lapses due to the absence of evidence. Thus, both people in this example hold to their different beliefs but do not speak to anyone else about those beliefs, and certainly do not champion those beliefs. Trying to persuade one another to change position is not helpful. It dramatizes the level of disharmony and makes the problem worse. So in this case, silence really is golden. And then sharing, no secrets, a seemingly contradictory point. It seems to me that it's important that there are no secrets, nothing that the one person is saying to third parties or doing with third parties that the other parties in the house are not aware of and might disagree with. It's important to put such things on the table and do the best possible to reach harmony on those points. If the partners concerned are mature with very different experience sets, there may legitimately be different views of a specific situation. See the article 2021-0105, different views of the mountain of relationship with Yah, as discussed later in this broadcast. It is important that the parties either come to a common view of a particular topic, or that the one who is not informed about that topic chooses to accept the view of the one who is informed. This is not about being proud, having the humility to say, I don't know, therefore I choose to accept your point of view. Getting into an argument or debate is the last thing you want to do. Then conversation and discussion. It is important that within a family unit there is the freedom for conversation and discussion, taking account of the points above. Members of the family should be free to explore ideas with one another with the understanding that constructive resolution is important. It's easy to get into a position in a relationship where one party feels constrained about sharing things with the other party because the other party gets reactive. And that's not a helpful situation. It's certainly dividing the house. It's certainly making the situation worse. But I would suggest that as a general rule, you need to be able to talk about pretty much anything that occurs between you and another member of the family. These are difficult things, folks. I thought I had a lot more clarity on this until a few months ago, and frankly, over the last few months, the longer I go on trying to resolve this issue, the more I realize that there's something that I don't understand, there's something I don't know. So moving on, agree to disagree, ? It seems possible that one might agree to disagree and then shelve the topic and not talk about it. Somehow, one needs to find out, without blaming the other party or the other parties, somehow one needs to find out what is causing the division, what is causing the financial disruption. And it may be that you get close to home at 7 o'clock in the evening and sorry, I lost my train of thought there. It seems possible that you can get into a situation where two people see things differently and agree to disagree and not get into acrimonious debate or fault-finding or whatever. It's a real challenge to figure out how does one accomplish Symphonia. I am absolutely certain. I've been there a couple of times, one might almost say accidentally, based on what I now know, where there has been a level of Symphonia and there's been abundant finances. And I know it's Father's will to bless us. I know it's his will to bless you, to bless me, to bless my spouse. And if it's not happening, it's because there's something wrong on our side. And that something that's wrong is presumably leading to division and lack. So the ideal is to live together and work together. It should be much easier to achieve Symphonia in a house where the parties are living together and working together, and therefore able to share and work on harmony constantly. That said, if there's more than one woman in the house, modern women find that very difficult to make that work, even if they're in the adjacent apartments. As a general rule, my advice to you today is if you're a man and you aspire to having more than one wife, I would suggest you park the idea. It's very difficult, not easy to do. I don't have a recipe for you. I've tried it myself. Very, very difficult. I have it now, and I'm finding it very difficult to be in harmony with my two spouses. Right now, from what I can see, it's difficult for even one man and one woman to be in harmony at a level that they really prosper. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying that I'm seeing that there are a significant number of people in monogamous relationships who are also battling with their finances. If you're a believer, the forces of darkness are literally hell-bent on holding your finances in bondage. Because as long as you're battling financially, it's very difficult for you to do really useful things for Father Yah, to help grow his kingdom, to give money to those who are doing his work, to make a difference in the world. It's very difficult if you're struggling day in and day out just to have enough money to pay the rent and put a bit of basic food on the table. Then I think in this whole picture there's a big piece about will or self-discipline. There's an element of self-discipline, the exercise of willpower here. So where there are differences, choose to be silent about them, for example. Once one understands the principles of symphonia or harmony and division, then one needs to be disciplined in one's words, both spoken and written, and actions and thoughts, because thoughts manifest in words and actions. So a lot of emphasis here about discipline. You can choose to get uptight and upset and angry, or you can choose to be constructive and positive and friendly and loving and get out of your lack situation by being what I've just said, patient and tolerant and loving and caring, listening, and trusting that your partner or partners are doing the same, that they are recognizing the fact that they're in lack, recognizing that that says, okay, there's something wrong here, and looking at it, examining themselves, praying to be shown their error, and each one trying personally and privately to resolve the situation without getting into a debate about this house is divided, you're a problem, and if you don't sort of come right in the next couple of days, I'm going to drop you in a box and divorce you and things like that. So really, really, really need to exercise your will here. So in conclusion, it's a complex and a little understood topic that I'm still learning about. And I've been learning about it since 1993. I started learning about it right way back when I first committed myself to Father, and I really took it on myself to seek his blessings financially. So I started tithing absolutely religiously, expecting a dramatic return, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Eventually, in about 1996, 1997, I wrote a book on poverty in the Church of Jesus Christ, which is on the website, listing all the things that I'd figured out at that stage that could get in the way of your financial blessings. And I still didn't have financial blessings much of the time. If you are blessed financially, then protect it carefully. Don't put your broadcast out there in such a way that people know that you're in lack, that you don't know what to do. Just pray. Ask Father for guidance. Fast. I did a 7-day fast a few weeks ago and got quite a bit of revelation there. I don't have an answer. If you have been in lack and are now no longer in lack and you can figure out what you did to get out of lack, I would love to hear from you, because I'm really puzzled at the moment, to be quite honest. It's a difficult road, and I'm sorry I can't be more help. So we're going to move on and look at the article that was written on 2021.01.05, the different views of the mountain of relationship with Yah. I regularly write about climbing the mountain of relationship with the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. See particularly the mountain of relationship page on the main website menu. This article looks at a different angle, the reality that the mountain looks different depending on how you come to it. Noted in the context of today's broadcast, this is particularly critical within a family unit, particularly with a man and woman or women each come from radically different backgrounds and therefore see the mountain radically differently. So I want to start out by asserting that mountains look different depending on how you come to them. Every mountain looks different depending on how you come to it. See the diagram on the different views of the mountain page on the website. so it is with Yaz Mountain. The mountain looks very different if you come to it as a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, a yogi, a Baha'i, a Hindu, etc. This may seem obvious, but I want to suggest that in the context of the way believers fight with each other, criticize each other, find fault with each other, get into wars with each other, it's not grasped that if you grew up as a Muslim, you may have a whole lot of truth about the Almighty that the other religions lack. You will also have a whole lot of error where they may have truth. And if you're a Christian, the same applies. You will have truth in areas that the others don't have. And so it goes. The extension of this is that each one of us must climb the mountain by our own unique path. See the diagram on the webpage, which shows different ways up the mountain. And basically, it is so that you need to chart your way up Father's Mountain. And it's a unique path, unique for you, determined by your life experience up to the date of his demand, which basically... Sorry, folks, I've had a couple of really short nights, lack of sleep. I'm battling to concentrate here, so I really apologize. So you need to chart your own way up the mountain. You can't climb the mountain my way, and I can't climb the mountain your way. And I want to suggest for your consideration that no human being can tell you exactly how to climb your path. No person can tell you exactly how to climb your path up Yaz Mountain. I can give you pointers. I can tell you how I got up the mountain. I can give you guidance on all sorts of ledges on the mountain. Rick Joyner reports different truths as being ledges on the mountain. And so you climb and you get on a ledge of truth. You consolidate. You climb again. And I've been doing that for whatever it is now, nearly 29 years. And so I've got a lot of truth. I've got a lot of learning. And it's all on the website. So you can go in there and dabble in it and dip in it. Go to the table of contents. Go to the keyword cloud. Go to the sliders, the little boxes which have got quotes in them. Father can use that to lead you to what you need right now. There's over 2,400 articles on the website if you go to the articles page, and there's over 1,000 web pages. So continuing on my basic theme, I can only describe my route up the mountain. I can only describe the route that I followed to climb the mountain and give you advice based on that path and limited to my experience. That is what my website and my books document, My Way Up the Mountain. See particularly the compilation of most writings on the website. Another way that you could do it is that the top of the main menu, I've been adding to pretty intensively for the last 18 months, writing articles on the essence of this and the essence of that. If you start at the top of the menu and just go along left to right and down, left to right and down, and read all those web pages. It might take you a couple of years to get all the way down, but you will have a pretty good idea of what Father has taught me by the time you finish that. And you'll get guidance on key points very quickly if you start digging into the website in depth. Folks, I'm not saying that this is an academic exercise. You need to trust Father's Spirit to guide you. You need to be praying the prayers that are on the page on the essence of prayer, asking for guidance, asking to be filled with the Spirit. Do the things in the process on the essence of cleansing. Anoint yourself, spiritual shaving, spiritual audits. Really clean up your act. And with that, find your own way up the mountain based on my information. I also want to suggest that there are large parts of the mountain that I do not know about. And not trying to be ugly to you, there are large parts of the mountain you don't know about either, because the mountain is huge. And you grow up learning about the mountain based on your core religious dispensation, be it Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, Baha'i, whatever, yogi. Each one of us comes to the mountain with a whole chunk of error and hopefully a bit of truth. So there are large parts of the mountain that I do not know exist, and therefore I can only help you when you get there by the leading of Father Spirit. It is so that each person has huge ignorance of the other views of the mountain. So it is possible to have two people who are both devout believers, but who have huge differences in terms of their knowledge and experience of the Almighty, as shown in the radar plot on the website. This radar plot shows error or wrong doctrine on the periphery. 100% error is the whole circle. And 0% error, 100% truth is at the center. So a person who has all truth on a subject will plot as a point at the center, whereas a person who has all error on that same subject will plot on the perimeter. Difficult to describe this on a radio program. If you understand the principles of a radar plot, you might follow a little bit more closely what I'm saying here. But basically what I'm saying is, in the diagram on the website, they're representing two people. The person in red might be a Christian who has a lot of truth on certain topics. And so the items to the right and a lot of error on other topics, the items to the left. The second person, for example, a Muslim, might have a lot of truth on the subjects the Christian has a lot of error on, and a lot of error on the subjects the Christian has a lot of truth on. This is what I mean by different views of the mountain, and it explains why, for example, Muslims and Christians are both attempting to serve the Creator, but can hardly agree on anything. The same principles apply to all other religious groups. This can present enormous challenges if the two people are man and woman in a sexual covenant union or marriage. If you are going to get into a sexual life covenant, in other words, a marriage, with somebody who has radically different knowledge and experience to yours, you need to understand that Symphonio is going to be a challenge. You need to understand that to come into harmony, you both need to do something about seeing the other party's side of the view of the mountain and coming into some sort of position where both of you are able to agree on the core things. Now, as I was saying a few minutes ago, I'm immensely challenged at the moment around this whole topic. I'm in covenant relationship with two ladies who I love deeply. And all three of us are battling financially. It's a struggle to get through the month in terms of food, etc. One has no electricity, no running water, battling to get even the most basic food. I'm living on soup and bread most of the time. The other woman is without a permanent place to live, battling to get through the month. And we don't know what the problem is. We don't know how to fix it. Been on a fast, moved some things. Things seem to be improving, but we can't pin down what the issues are. So I'd assert I understand some of the Christian side of the mountain. In fact, I probably understand most of the Christian side of the mountain. But it is important to be aware that I understand quite a bit of the Christian side. But even then, there are many factions, streams, and denominations I do not know or know well. So, for example, the Mormons, I don't know a lot about them. The Seventh-day Adventists, I don't know a lot about their detail. The Catholics, I know very little about a lot of their detail. So it goes. As I've journeyed with Yah, I've learned about some key aspects of what other religions have as truth. So my view of the mountain is more diverse and more inclusive than most. but my knowledge of the other sides of the mountain is nevertheless limited. I've also got a lot of truth that Father has given me directly, so I've got a view of the mountain that probably nobody else has. And that all makes it difficult and challenging if you're in relationship with one or more women and they're trying to be in harmony with you. So you need to talk, you need to pray, you need to fast, and you need to keep doing it and have faith that it'll come right. I believe it will come right. I believe that we're doing what we know to do, and that sooner or later we will stumble on the correct solution. Father wants us to prosper. There's no question in my mind. Father intends us to prosper. Father wants us to prosper. So if we're not prospering, it's not to do with him, it's to do with us. I then want to suggest that you are almost certainly already on the mountain, so you should start climbing. Since you're listening to this and you've listened this far today, it is likely that you're already on the mountain. So I want to suggest to you that it's now time to start climbing. Yah will show you your own unique path up the mountain to deep relationship with him. There are over 1,000 web pages and over 2,400 articles on the website, www.endtimemissionministries.org, that are there to help you. There is considerable functionality to allow Father Yah to lead you through the website on your own unique journey. So there's a table of contents, so you can, and that's in the right-hand sidebar on the home page. I think it's on all the sidebars, actually. So you can scroll down there and find a lot of articles, etc. At the bottom of each page, there's an article keyword cloud. There's also a menu item article keyword cloud. Keywords to every article in the articles database. So literally thousands of words there that you can dip into randomly and find articles of relevance. Then there's the Google search. So you can go onto the website in the right-hand sidebar. The Google search is Google functionality dedicated to the website. Find topics that you're looking for. On the pages, as you scroll down, you'll find what are called sliders, little boxes, which have pop-ups of text off the articles database. It'll take you into the articles database completely randomly as Father chooses to lead you. So there's a hang of a lot on the website that will help you to draw closer to Father to get answers to your questions. And I want to ask you to beware of people who think that their way up the mountain is the only way. Beware of people who tell you that their way is the only way up the mountain. That is just not true, folks. Every person has their own unique way. See the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close to Yah, for guidance in terms of getting going. I hope that this will help you to understand the journey that you're embarking on and to climb successfully. Folks, one of the reasons that there is so much strife between believers, and I'm talking now denominations in Christianity and in other religions, I'm talking about the other mainstream religions. There are people in each group who have relationships with Father who are in some way viewing part of Yah's mountain. It may be very confused and camouflaged and all the rest of it, but they are seeing some part of his mountain, and they're seeing different parts of the same mountain because the mountain is huge, it's complex. Just because somebody else doesn't see the mountain your way doesn't mean you're right and they're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're wrong and they're right either. It means that you see the mountain differently. So instead of finding fault, instead of looking at what you perceive to be planks in their eyes when they're actually little specks, deal with the planks in your own eyes. Stop judging others. Just get your own life right with Father and stop finding fault with other people. So, so important. So I'd like to show some closing thoughts on the lack of believers. Or believers in lack, and Symphonia. I've juxtaposed the different views of the mountain of Yah with the article on lack amongst believers, with particular emphasis on a divided house. It is becoming increasingly apparent to me that this is an extremely complex subject. In the first instance, I want to suggest to you that the ideal is that a man and woman are introduced to these concepts before they consummate, and that they take these factors into account when deciding whether to consummate or not. In this context, the form of arranged marriage I have referred to previously, with the parents of a young man and parents of a young woman, identify that their children are well suited to one another, and formally introduce them with the goal of covenant union in mind, and facilitate a constructive discussion to agreed terms. I believe that's the ideal way to go. This applies to young believers. It can also apply to truly single people in terms of discussion before they consummate. What I'm saying to you is that the more you can choose a partner who is aligned with you in terms of the view of the mountain, the easier it's going to be in Symphonia, at least in theory. I may be mistaken in practice. If you're going to choose a partner from who has a completely different view of the mountain, you need to understand that you're going to have to work hard to get into Symphonia. And again, I can't really tell you what that looks like. I had quite strong opinions on this a few decades ago. I don't anymore. I just have to say to you, folks, I don't have the answer. I've tried counseling a number of people who come to me in lack, and I say, well, obviously your house is divided. You need to sit down with your wife and figure out what the problem is. And now I've got the problem and I can't figure it out. So what do you tell people after that? So what to do when you've already consummated? In the context of this article, the reality is that the people in these articles are targeting are believers who've already consummated. The challenge then is to navigate to a point where they're able to be in Symphonia at a level that enables your house to prosper. How you achieve that is currently not entirely clear to me. That's actually a bit of an understatement. I have this problem in my own life and we're earnestly seeking resolution. So far, our efforts seem to have made the situation worse, not better. So all suggestions are welcome. And there's a smiley on that page. Folks, that's pretty much all I've got to say to you today on this subject of divided house and Symphonia. I want to really wrap up this discussion and make the point to you. I have total, absolute, 100% certainty that Father wants to bless you, wants to bless me, wants to bless my wives. If you're not in those blessings, there's a problem. And the problem is you're not in Symphonia. And you're not in Symphonia because there is something in your life that's keeping you from Symphonia. And you're not going to solve it by going on some sort of ugly witch hunt, blaming your partner or partners. You're going to solve it by looking in the mirror, saying, what are you doing wrong? What do you need to change? What do you need to pray? And doing what you have to do. And look at the articles that I've published in the last few weeks about unwise sexual relationships and things like that. So, folks, probably the most inconclusive message I've ever broadcast. I hope I haven't totally discouraged you. Big subject, difficult subject. Hope it gives you something to work with, particularly if you're in lack. And if you're not in lack and you're prospering, please let me know what the recipe is. So what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, You're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, all the rest of it is fluff and stuff, the financial blessings, etc., etc. It's fluff and stuff. He's not going to let you starve to death. He will make a way, even while you're battling with the lack of symphonia. But he wants you to become his friend. You can become his friend and still be battling financially. Ask me. You can become his friend, irrespective of who you are, your tribe, your nation, your race, your language, whether you're short or tall, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're black or white or whatever. He wants you to become his friend, not the person next to you, not the person in front of you, not the person behind you, you. He wants you to become his friend, and it's possible for you to become his friend. If you look at all the articles on the website, you'll find all sorts of guidance around that. So key documents on the website, compendium of important articles, or else just follow the main menu, start at the top left and work down a row at a time. Video on Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. It's www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries, one word, .org, to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, as I said a few minutes ago, there's a huge amount of information on the website. Father says it's the most comprehensive documentation about him and his ways that's ever been produced. Lots of information there to help you in your journey. Closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, can't stress this enough. Father wants you to become his friend. The rewards are huge. If you really lay down your life and seek to draw close to him, you can qualify to sit on a really high throne in heaven for eternity with a glorious resurrected body, great power, great authority, massive supernatural gifts, ruling over a planet or a solar system or a city or whatever, but in a position of great esteem, great authority, great glory. It's there for you. It's really there for you. Whoever you are, however much you regard yourself as great or small, and the information to get you there is on the website. And I really, really urge you to go for it. You're going to be so disappointed when you die if you don't take me up on what I've just said. It's there for you, irrespective of your race, your color, your language, any of those things. So that's all for today. Thank you so much. Good night.